So we left off yesterday trying to wrap our hands around the very, very difficult beginning of the sugya against the Batim. The Gemara somehow thought that there's a connection between the din of Chesed Dim Ushanim and the halakh of 3 days to turn a shore into a shore muad. So I really have to apologize. It's not Lima Mishah Hanisko, it's Lima Mishah Hamuad. So sorry about that little typo on the Makobos. It was my fault. So the Gemara had a strange question. The Gemara somehow was okay with this Yafut, so the Gemara was all right with this comparison. The Gemara just got involved with a very, very nitty-gritty detail as to, is it really 3 years that suffice? Or do we have to actually wait for the fourth year? And the Gemara thought, well, if you're really continuing learning out from Shor HaMuad, you should wait for the fourth time, because after all, the Shor doesn't pay, the Baal Shor doesn't pay for Nezek Shalom until the fourth time. So the Gemara addressed that issue and the technical problem. Leolam, it becomes a shomur after 3 times. It's just, there's nothing to pay for you after the 4th time. But Bikaron, the question was a decent question. It was really not a bad question. So Tosfos jumped and the Gemara said, it was not a bad question. It was a terrible question. The question is predicated on a fundamental flaw in what the very nature of the limud was. Says Tosfos, what was this limud? What was this? Imagine, what did the Hochilusha want? What in the world is the connection between the Shor HaMuad and Chesed Dim Ushanim? So Tosfos tries to get into the hearts and souls of the Hochayusha and says, obviously, what the Hochayusha must have meant is that it must be that we're using Shor HaMuad as the model for how long things have to happen, how often things have to happen before we can make certain assumptions that things have occurred. So Lo Moshul and Shor HaMuad gores once. We can assume it was the 8th of the clock. It was twice, 3 times, or 3 times in 3 days, for the Bailam to close their eyes now and say, no, it's really a very, very calm, tame. You know, you have sometimes, I'm not like the biggest fan of dogs. You know, sometimes like you walk past somebody and this dog, like 6 feet tall, you know, with like teeth, look like it's a tiger, like it's about to like, and the, you know, the leash is like yo long and it's about to heading in for attack. And what does the owner say? Oh, don't worry, it's only a puppy. So for this owner to think that, well, my shore is still pretty calm, he was just a little boy just a little while ago, he was a little calf, but now he's a crazy meshuggah ox. He killed 3 people already in the last 3 days. So obviously we've reached a point of saying that you have to assume the shore is a shore nachon. Well, so you see, it takes a few times for us to convince us that something is true. So too it must be that the whole idea of Cheskes Dim Ushanim is to convince us of a certain thing. What's to convince us of? That a guy Shaisek, 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, and again, we're measuring Shtika in terms of years, not in days. That's for a technical question, why? But the same idea is basically there. 1 time, 1 unit of time of a year, Yeshayisek, Nachamon Yeshayisek, 3 times Yeshayisek, 3 times you're out. Mistava, that's a raya. There's a reason why Yeshayisek. The reason why Yeshayisek is because you probably sold it. And if you want to know, says Tosfos, in a heart and soul, how does Chesed Dim Ushanim work? It works based on what principle? I said the word. I snuck it in there. What was it? That you blank sold it? Probably sold it. Right. Most probably sold it. That's what Chesed Dim Ushanim is all about. At this stage, before we fine-tune this, Tosfos is introducing to us what the fundamental yisod of Chesed Dim Ushanim is. It's simply probability. It's a statistical probability. Now, I know wheels are turning and everybody said, statistical probability, really? That's going to work to be mighty mamon? Really now? Did we ever hear that topic called Enoch Mamon Acharov? But that's what Tosh is talking. Tosh is talking the language of statistical probability right now. I don't mean to say bad memories, but you know, memories not that far ago. We spoke about other kinds of rules that we use in Dida Mamonis that are also probabilities. Remember one of them? I think it had 3 letters to it. What was it called? Mingo. Mingo was also a probability. He's probably telling the truth. And we use that in halacha to be kamei a certain dinim. So all of a sudden, we're right back where we left off in the first part. I told you there's a little bit of an overlap. We're right where we were. The idea of using probability to paskin dinim ominous. So Tosfos said, yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's clearly what it's all about. Before we opened up the perek, we know right away that that's what it's all about. So the wheels start to turn on that. Really? You're using probability in Dinei Mamonis? Last I checked, there was a machlokes what? I mean, Rav and Shmuel, right? Come on, let's go back to the sources. Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, can you do such a thing? Now, we paskin like Shmuel, so can you do such a thing? Machlekes Uru Naikatim, you wanted to say. Tosin, right? Tosin, Tosin, Mavakama, right? So, wait a second. We're not so tzufrida. We're not so excited about being Mitzi Mammon based on Rav. But wait a second. Are we really being Mitzi Mammon here? I'm using Chesed Gimushadim against what? What am I using it against? Chesed Merkama. Is that called being Mighty Mammon? Let's get the wheels. Come on. I said we learned all this already. We're already for Chesed about them. Yaduam for some machlekes who and who? To take away from the Chesed Merkama. Is that called to be Mighty Mammon? Well, doesn't that depend on what Chesed Merkama is all about? If Chesed Merkama is rooted in nothing more, nothing less than what, then by Samanuga. So that it's basically just a din of chazocha meikara. It is not. There is no. Remember, there's no cheskis mamon. That was yesterday's introduction. There is no cheskis mamon by karka. The best that you have by karka is a cheskis marakama. If you hold like the Sheikh Shmaitza, that cheskis marakama is nothing more, nothing less. Just a glorious chazocha meikara. So that it wouldn't faze me to say that Rov is moti mamon. So I can understand how cheskis gimushanim works. It's based on probably the guy was moichel. That's what Tosa says. That im kain. What did I say? Right? So that wouldn't be so crazy. If you hold like the Kudus HaSfeik is, that Cheskes Merkama is rooted in what, Rabbi say? It's Muchsuk. It's a subcategory of Muchsuk. How's Rove going to work? So we have a lot of work to do. I mean, these are just some of the ABCs that we're going to have to talk about as the year goes on.
And why is the Chazak Mekar still not that guy's?
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's not being musik on it, we still belong. We still assume it's his.
No. Again. So we are trying to figure out the facts. Though we know that Reuven owned this field for the last 20 years. That's a given fact. Reuven owned the field in the past. Whether he owns it now or not, I don't know. Now we have a latest asafik. What's the latest asafik? Was there a mechira? So Shimon claims I bought it from Reuven. He has no proof. No edim, no shtar, nothing. He claims that he bought it. So what do you mean he claims he bought it? So we know he has a chazaka mekor. You have a nothing. No, I don't have a nothing. I have a robe. What's my robe? I could prove to you that I bought it. Because if I wouldn't have bought it, then he would have been Moicha. From the fact that he's a Shaskud, he's Uchsuch Shaskud, he hasn't picked up in the last 3 years, that's my robe. Most people who don't sell fields and they see people eating their fruits are going to complain. So the fact that this guy did not complain, that's a robe that he probably did sell the field. So ultimately what this really boils down to is, it's a robe against the Cheskes Merkama. That's what every case Cheskes Merkama is all about. That's what Tosfos just said. I didn't say this. Tosfos said it. Didn't Tosfos just say this? Tosfos asks, the only way to understand what's going on is this notion of Huchsuk Shaskud. So why did the Gemara need Holchei Usha for? Because Holchei Usha taught us, how do I know what the robe is? It's hard for me to make sense. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know how to make studies of what the robes are. But I see the Torah clearly accepts this notion of when things happen a few times, that indicates something about a certain nature of animals and a certain nature of people. We are also animals. We're two-legged animals. The other one is chaya. We say after us aderach, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to save us from the chayas ros, the misrachshus levavu l'olam. So people are also chayas ros. So just as the animals have a certain psychology, animals gore a few times, that shows that they're crazy. People don't talk up after a few years. That shows that there's a reason why they don't talk up, because they most probably sold the field. That's all Tosfos. Everyone saw the Tosfos. Everyone realized that's what Tosfos meant. Huchzak liyo shaskud. Huchzak liyo shaskud just means a fancy schmancy robe. And if it's a fancy schmancy robe, so that starts the wheels turning. Robe by Momenus, Tosfos, Baba Kama, Tosfos, Zanedrin, Kudus, Asfakis, Sashay Shmaitza. These are all things that are going to come up in the beginning of the parak. So Tosfos has a problem with the Gemara. Tosfos says, why did the Gemara jump and say that, no, if you're learning out from Shah and Amua, you eat four times? Says Tosfos, no, you don't. It wasn't even, what was Eilal and Da'as Hashem Havavina? Didn't the Gemara realize that after three times it's been Huchzak? It's not the negichas that matter, it's the shtika that matters. Shtikas, the shtika was already huchs. Is there a huchs of gimel shtikas? I think gimel achilas. So Tais says, I don't understand what the Gemara is chepering. Why did the Gemara, didn't the Gemara realize what I say? Tais is writing, it's so posh, it's so glot what we're writing. Didn't the Gemara realize that? So Tais has a startling statement. So comes Tais now to try to explain what the mindset of the Gemara was. From the fact that the Amoraim chepped the whole Chayusha, Zevin from Doa that our Bia was not right, says Tosfos. So what is Chazaka? V'yemiri, disalkadaitach the makshe, the Hochi Yolif. Mahosa mechinogach kibupa'omim nofaklei mechatzi nezek or nezek sholim. Toysa's talking a different language about Mechamina. Only got a different word. Why is it that three negichas change you from chatzi nezek to nezek sholim? So in the kasha, Toysa's thought, it's because of Huchsuk Nakhon, we've created a psychological assessment that this animal's crazy, and therefore we're angry at the owner for not watching him, and you insist the owner watches him better. It was all based on a rove. Now Tyson's back and said, no, that's not what's happening. You know what happens? Kachazir. That's the way it is. Three times changes halacha. You do it enough times, it changes halacha. It used to be chatzi nezek, now it's nezek sholim. Does it make any sense? Absolutely not. Makes zero sense. Nothing to do with psychology. Zero sense. It says paraduma. Mahasa mechinav give up oven nafkale mechatz ezach haneshon. Hachinami. Kevin she'ochla shalashon v'lamicha nafkale mishus mechla shus lekech. You want to know why does the supposed lekech, why does the machzik mishon win? Nothing to do with he probably sold it. He was shaysek, except it's a psychology. Nothing to do with that. You know why he wins? Because he wins. You know why he wins? Three times changes the world. It used to belong to this guy. Three times happened. Now it belongs to the next guy. Finish, come on. Don't psychoanalyze everything in halacha. Just take it. A little emuna pshuta. And says, Tosfos, I forgot the bilsa below. Time who? It does make any sense. Themselves, they don't know what's going on. How you talking to Marcus? What is this? This is paraduma. This is kelayim. This is bas mechalot. This is dinim ominous. This is svaris. Has to make sense. Nope. It's a Muslim time. That's the only way Tosfos throws the hands up. That's the only way to explain what the kasha of the Gemara was. Now we all know at the end of the day, the kasha of the Gemara ended up flopping because the Gemara said, "Aha, ad shan revias." The Gemara says, "No." But the Ikaron, even though the Gemara was able to be Deicha the Kasha, the underlying premise of the Kasha, that this is a Milsa B'lo time, it is Exer Sekasa, this is something that defies logic of the Dinamonis, that stands. It stands for now. It's not going to stand for long, but it stands for now. So if I stop you and ask you, what's our first take on Chesed Moshonim? We have a problem with Chesed Moshonim. You know what the problem is? Reuven has a Chazaka of Chesed Bar Kama. Shimon has nothing. Shimon ate fruit for 3 years. Whoop-de-doo. What koyach does Shimon have to be mafkia zayin the chesed bar kama? What force in halacha? Give me a halachic force, a halachic mechanism that overtakes and overrides and supersedes the chesed bar kama. So Tosfos in the kasha thought it must be rov, and that's what the liyafus for Chayusha was. And Tosfos says, no, you see from the Gemara that wasn't the case. You see Chazal didn't understand that way. So what is it? Three times changes everything. Three times is the mevatel of the cheskes bar kama. How does that work? Same way three times mevatel shem shuatam. Once it's mevatel the cheskes bar kama, then what happens? So now who has the upper hand? So Reuben has nothing, and Shimon has nothing. So who wins the din Torah? Reuben has nothing, Shimon has nothing. What's the answer? What does Beis Din do? I mean, I don't know if I'd literally call it Kol Dalam Gvar, but I would just say like, well, we do nothing. I mean, basically we do nothing. So what does doing nothing mean? Shimon's sitting there, so he remains there. So l'chayr, according to this beer and Tosfos, this havamin and shibahavamin and Tosfos, Chesed Gimushanim is wild. Chesed Gimushanim is a gzer sakosuf. Look down for sure, amuad. We don't understand. And we don't really believe that Shimon's the owner. We have nothing to do. What makes Shimon the owner? We're not really sure. Nafka mishus meichel is just lekeach. Does Tosfos mean to say that now we could say bevadol Shimon is the owner? That's mind-boggling. That's what Tosfos is saying. Pillay play. That's the Havamina of the Gemara. Pillay play.
If we're learning out from the shore that it's such a crazy tzidir shakosim, how are we able to extrapolate from that?
No idea. Yeah. Got to be from the Hochi Ushin on that. I have no idea. I don't understand what it means by Shoran. Sure. I in the Chabal Chedusha, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I'm not sure. But Rabbi say, don't think that our entire parak is going to be based on this. Because the Gemara is going to very, very quickly turn the tables and say that, no, you totally misunderstood. some of the yesodas that we spoke about earlier, about Rove and Chesed Barakama and Rove being Motzi Mammon, that's going to make a comeback very, very quickly, but we're not there yet. Before we get to that comeback, let's just fine-tune a little bit this Yafusa from Shamud. Because whether the Yafusa Shamud is the way Tosfos is presenting it as a wild Zivsakasim, or there is some kind of a logic to it, the whole Chayusha thought it had something to do with Shamud. So we have to know a little bit more about Shamud to appreciate what we're trying to extrapolate. So one Nakuda was very, very simple. The numbers. We are no longer talking right now about how Chesed Gimel Shanim works. We're just trying to fine-tune what is Chesed Gimel Shanim. So the number is critical. The number three is magic. What does the number three mean? You need 3 years, and then it becomes yours. Just as you needed 3 negichos, and then you get the title, you get to wear the hat called the Shamuah, to be effective subsequently when the next negicha happens. So one thing is absolutely chayk layav a crystal clear from this Gemara, that the sugya of Shamuah itself only begins to pay Nezek Shalem from the 4th negicha. That's like not negotiable. I'm the Gemara. I'm Amishai. It's hard to read it the other way. Ima Shamuah ad negicha revias lo mechayev v'chein amishan revias. So forget about whether the model of 4 years, 3 years carries over. In Shamuah, in the Bava Kama part of the sugya, there's no question that that 3rd negicha does not play Nezek Shalem. He becomes a Shamuah from that negicha, but he doesn't play Nezek Shalem from that negicha. That's it. You can't argue with that. Why would anyone think otherwise? What would lead us to possibly believe otherwise? So a very, very cryptic Gemara in Bava Kama, the end of the 2nd parak of Bava Kama, that may lead us to believe otherwise. So the Gemara, the Mishnah starts off with the 3rd of the Ma'amar Koimus. Ezu Tam ve'ezu Mu'ad. How do you know it's a Shor Tam, it's a Shor Mu'ad? So a big machlok is at the Noam, which is going to become critical for us a little bit later on, whether it's 3 times, whether it's 3 days, could the 3 times be in the same day, etc. Good, not for now. So the Gemara says that according to the way we accept the halacha, that days are critical. Where does the Torah say all this? Where does it all come from 3 times? So my time in review, Amar Abayi. T'mol chad mitmol trei shil shom t'los l'shmenu ba'alav asan l'kichuviz. Abayi said it's all the psukim. Remember we said that B'chakam is mostly psukim. What does the Torah say? V'yehem shohar nagachu. What's the next words? Next words? Mitmol shil shom. So let's start counting. Mitmol shil shom. How many gichas in those 2 words?
At least two.
3. Tmol is like esmol, like yesterday. It's like a shortened version of esmol. So tmol is at least 1. Mitmol probably means milifnei tmol. So that means already 2. Shilshom, as its name is, 3. So we already have 3 already, and just in those 2 words, mitmol shilshom. Vuad v'alav v'lesh v'renu. I mix up some. V'lo yishmerenu ba'alav. The Torah says, V'lo yishmerenu ba'alav. So what does that mean? It means another time happened. So the Torah speaks about 4 times. T'mol, mitmol, shilshom, v'lo yishmerenu. 4 times. So Abaye says, that's the mokor. So t'mol is chad, mitmol, trei, shilshom, plus, l'shmerenu, above us on the gichur v'yis. Rava Amar, Rava says no. Rav is sitting and with the Sefer Torah open, and he's looking at the same words of Abaye. T'mol mitmol chad. He says, come on. Mitmol doesn't mean yesterday and the day before. Mitmol means 1 day. It's the same. It's like saying esmol. Shilshon is another day. According to Rav, we're what? We're 1 negicha short. Because since Rav combined the 2 negicha, the 1 word, of mitmol really just means 1, so then it comes out according to Rava, there are only 3 mentions of negichas in the Torah. What conclusion should we draw from that? So comes Rashi in Bava Kama and makes the following observation. It says Rashi, this machlokes Abaye and Rava is not just machlokes in dikta, category, taitcha, posuk, and article, and chumash. This machlokes Medina. What number negicha makes you pay nezek shalom? According to Abaye, it's obviously the 4th. According to Rava, it's the third. There is no fourth. Torah doesn't speak about a fourth. So Torah is the third. But Lo Shmeta about the same way according to Baal, Lo Shmeta Baal of means Chayav. That's number four. According to Rava, Lo Shmeta Baal of means the third, and you're Chayav at that point. So Rashi claims that the Machlek is about Rava, so Machlek is the Dina. How many times, and Mishnah speaks about three Degichas, how many, does that mean three and then Yechai for the fourth? Does that mean three and Yechai for the third one? That's a Rashi says, Beferish Shema B'Kamen. So of course, that's a very, very problematic Rashi, because then it comes out that the stomach of the Gemara, B'Basa Kavches, is following who? It's following Abaye. We don't like that, because generally we don't follow Abaye. Except for Yalka Gams, we don't follow Abaye. So to believe that you have a Stam Shach V'Tariya Sugya in Rabbasa Dav Kavches, with the Amoraim in Bavel sitting around and analyzing the Hoche Usha, and they asked the Kasha, Ima Negicha Ad Negicha Revias L'Lechayev, was only going to leave with the Abaye. That's bizarre, says Tosis. Very, very strange. So Tosis picks up on this, on the second from the bottom Tosis in our Sugya, and says Tosis, Bekam Chodze Be'Rashi Masher Mefarsh Be'Vakama. Rashi backed out what he said in Baba Kama. Rashi was learning Baba Kama. He thought, yeah, you read Baba Kama, that's what it sounds like. You get the Baba Basra. It can't be. Rashi says, what I said was wrong. Can't be. Where do we see that Rashi was Chozaboy? I don't see. Where does it say Rashi was Chozaboy? I don't know. Tosis, but they were the grandchildren of Rashi. So they said, we know the Zaydi was Chozaboy. In his old age, the Rashi said, you know what? What I wrote in Baba Kama is wrong. That's what Tosis writes. Okay, so that just pushes the question back. Abba Zoi, what he wrote in Rabbi Kama was not right. It's refuted by the Gemara of Basra. So what were Abaye and Rabbi fighting about? If everybody agrees you're only chayav in the fourth Agicha, so what were they arguing about? So you know what Taisa says? You know what they were arguing about? Nothing. Mashmas Darshini Kibinayu. They weren't arguing about anything at all. Everyone agrees to the facts. You have to get to the Agicha number four. That's the book of Gemara Basra Kavches. Abaye got there easily. Rava said, I don't need the fourth Negich to be mentioned in the Chumash. All the Chumash has to mention is three Negichas. Then I figure it out on my own, and from here on in, you're Chayav. After the third Negich, you're going to be Chayav. So where's the Kohen Tavai? You needed V'loish Ben Abolov to tell me the fourth Negich? Rava said, no, there's no need for that. But L'Halacha, there's no difference whatsoever. That's Tosa's general presentation to Sugya, that the whole Gemara of Bavakav and Abai and Rava was an interesting diktuk and dashanim and how do you make drushes. But at the end of the day, after Halacha, there's absolutely zero nafkah min ladina, as is proven by Rav Basak of Ches. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So according to Taisus, we're good to go. But there were other days in Rishonim, other days in Taisus, that were looking at the two sugyas, and they were convinced that Kav Ches and Rav Basak stands. There's no way to learn Rav the way Rashi suggested in Baba Kama. It can't be. But just to fall back and say Mashmos Dosh and Nikim and I was a little bit hard to believe. Mashmos Dosh, we can pronounce like a last resort. There's nothing else to say. Says Tosfos, they quote in the name of Rabbeinu Ezra. Tosfos quotes the name of Rabbeinu Balei Tosfos Rabbeinu Ezra. Tosfos Baba Kama quotes the same shot, but quotes the name of Rabbeinu Azriel. So I don't know whether his name was Ezra and somebody Azriel became his nickname, or his name was Azriel, Ezra became short. I'm not sure. Probably the same person. I can't say what his real name was. But Taisus Bayas quotes the name of Rabbeinu Ezra that has the following beer in the Sugya Baba Kama. So back to the Taisus again. Rabbeinu Ezra and Farish, the Vavla Kuliyama Mechayv and Revius. You can't argue with the Gemara of Basar. Of Abba Pligi, there is still a Machlaikis Vayan Rav. We don't want to go down Taisus Meshmos Darshan. The Labai the Mafik Negicha Revius Mikrad Leish Moreno. Im Navach Negicha Revius Biyom Gimel Lomechaye Vachich Biyom Revi. The Leish Moreno Koy Ayom Dumi Ditval Shilshan. Aval the Rav the Negicha Revius Lo Ksiva Behedja Fil Biyom Shlish Im Navach Negicha Revius Mechaye. What have been Ezra Sip Shat in the Machlaikis Vayan Rav? Everyone agrees the Yoyle that you need that fourth Negicha to be Chayav. The Machlaikis Vayan Rav is the fourth Negicha written in the Torah now. My Nafkimina. When we speak about the first negichos, it's not enough just to be nogeach three times and you're out. It has to be what? Tmol, shilshom, it has to be days. 3 days is what's critical. So let's say the animal gores Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning, Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not a shomuad. Maybe Rabbi Meir has a different understanding, but not that's not shomuad that we know and love. So you need yomim. Yom ksibahu. Does the fourth negicha also need the din of yamin? Let's say an animal gores on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And the fourth negicha happens 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Is that called the parasha of Shemua? So Rabbeinu Ezra says it depends. According to Abaye, who says that the fourth negicha is Amura Batoira. So it's similar to the first two negichas. Just as the first two negichas have to be on three distinct separate days, so too that fourth negicha that makes you pay has to be on a separate day. So in order to become a Shemua, you got to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Gore on Thursday. And according to Rabbi, the fourth negicha wasn't even written in the Torah. But Shmuel Balav is going with the third negicha. The fourth negicha is Muvan Le'elav. Once it gets to Shem Shomur after three negichas, so then it's chayim, even if the next negicha happens 10 minutes later. So Baruch Hashem, Rabbeinu Ezra saved the day, and he says there is a nafkamin ladina, so we have a cake and eat it. But the master stands as nafkam ches. Everyone agrees you're not chayim after the fourth negicha. There is a machloikis abay and rava. It's not a machloikis 3 versus 4. It's not a machloik. It's not just a meshpros dorshim. It's a real nafkamin ladina. Nafkamin is what's the role of that fourth negicha? That fourth negicha follow the rules and limitations of yamim of the first three or not? It almost sounds a shtickle, like there's a lumdish machlokes according to Rabbeinu Ezra going up to Rabbi and Rabbah. Means at the end of the day, the Torah says you don't pay for the third negicha, except for that difficult Rashi. You don't pay for the third negicha. You pay for the fourth negicha. So what does that mean? How do you understand that? So you can understand that one of two ways in terms of lumdus. You can understand that the role of the fourth negicha is really to be mashed of the shemur. I mean, you really, truly only become a shemur on the fourth, but you pay for that fourth. It's like gita v'yad b'am kiyecha. Muaduso v'chiyuv b'am kiyecha. And if that's the case, that fourth negicha is part of the creation of the shem, the cheftza for the shemur, that I understand that it should be limited by that requirement of yamim nifradim. The same way that negicha number 1 got to be a separate day, negicha number 2 has got to be a separate day, negicha number 3 has to be a separate day. Negicha number 4, which is part of the etzem creation of the chalais and shar mu'ad, has to also be on a separate day. So I really understand that Abaye very, very well. But according to Rava, what's happening?
He's
according to Rava, you became a Shomud already. You missed the Shomud already. You have the three. The fourth is just the Hechetimtza. You are full-fledged 1,001 Mivza. You are wearing the tie, you're wearing the t-shirt that says Echbid Shomud already. Now, to be determined, if you go again, you're going to have to pay. So, my nafkamina, what do I need that Negicha to be on the next day for?
If you sell the animal between and you say it's not
Shomud. That's too complicated. Selling animals, those are Gemaras, and we spoke about this earlier this year. I know about the Mechitza Kerish difference. Remember that? The Yecheskel is about the Shomuads and selling. I can't even begin to go down that. I have enough trouble with Masr. So Rabbi Sai, according to Rabbeinu Ezra, this Machloikis, Abai and Rav, again, we're not even sure it's a Machloikis. According to Taisus, this first Pshat, Mishmos Dorsh, there's no Machloikis, and forget about it. Machloikis and Diktuk. But according to Rabbeinu Ezra, there's a real Nafkamin Ladin with Rabbi and Rav. It's not just a technicality, it sounds like it's something fundamental. It's a fundamental question. How do you understand this phenomenon that three and then four? Is the fourth really that Shlava Shem Shamuad? Or is the fourth just Heichetimtza? But that Shlava Shem Shamuad was done already at three. If there's no need for the fourth to be at any particular time period.
We're not seeing from our Gemara.
Oh, so the Chora, isn't that goof for the Shakwatar and Agamar? The Gemara had that bizarre question. The Gemara said, you're learning from Shor HaMuad, the Chesed Zimushanim, Ma Shor HaMuad, you're not Chayav till the fourth time, so too, by Chesed Zimushanim, you shouldn't really be a Chazaka till the fourth time, till you ate the full 4 years, not 3 years. That was the Gemara's Kasha. Ima Shor HaMuad, Adi Gich Raviyah. And the Gemara laughed and said, what are you joking? Didn't you realize that? What are you talking about? Now, nah. What was the Shabbatai? What was the Gemara's Kasha? What was the Gemara's Teretz? L'chora, according to Rabbeinu Ezra, the Kasha and the Teretz is goof for the Suffolk of Abaye and Rava. It's exactly the Gemara and the Kasha was looking at the Sugya of Shomuad almost through the eyes of Abaye. that, hey, wait a second, you're not really a Shamur till the fourth time. And therefore, according to Abaye, the fourth Gich has got to follow suit. It's got to be on another day. And if that's the case, that you don't really get the Shem Shamur till the fourth time, so Hu Dinami, it shouldn't really be a Chazoka until the fourth year of eating. It should be Achilasa v'cheskasa b'ayin k'yachon. The same way that the Gichasa v'chiyuva b'ayin k'yachon. And when the Gemara says, no, Hachi Hashta, what's the Gemara really answering? That who's right? The Rav is right. So there's a whole new Mahalach in the Sukkah here. Whole new Bidr. Just, we're reading the Gemara. So just trying to understand. We have this Hachi Usha. We don't really understand a lot about them. We thought it was a Svar of Rav. Tosfos told us the Gzeres HaKosov. The Gemara's pupling, getting into nitpicking about the numbers of days and years. But this is not just nitpicking. This is Lamdus. This is a fundamental Yisrael. Two different ways of understanding Shor HaMuad, which is now impacting on how to understand Chesed Gibur Shor HaMuad. It's probably, you can either a Shotam or Shamuot, so it's probably, there's no lapse between the two.
Because it would then seem like, according to Abaye, that the third time is when it stops being a time, and the fourth time is the when it becomes a Ruach.
So what is it in between?
I'm not sure there is any in between.
I think Shotam, it is not a Chel Hashem Shotam. Shotam is the absence of being a Muad.
Because then according to Abaye, after that third time, when it's still not a Muad, even after the third time, which we know isn't true.
We know it's not true because we dashed the psukim like Rava, but Abaye didn't know it's true.
Don't we have the Gemara that says after the
testimony? Welcome. Abaye talking. Abaye is an Amor. He can say whatever he wants. Abaye believed that nothing really happens till the fourth time. Because we are licked in cup that it's three times.
We have a Gemara says after
the Gemara in Yevamos is learning from Shor HaMuad. So we're going backwards.
Oh, it's
going backwards.
Yeah,
hold on. So Rabbi Sai, we have three possibilities in the Machlokes Abaye and Rava. One was Rashi's old pshat that there was really Machlokes with a three or four, which seems to be two or three, whatever you want to call it, rejected by Gemara. You have Taisa said Meshmos Darshim, and now you have Rabbi Ezra's razzle dazzle pshat. But everybody said, let's go back to Rashi's old pshat for a minute. Rashi suggested that within Rava's way of darshan of sukkim, it's nitan le'amer, you can become a shomuad on the third hit. You can pay nezek shalom on the third negicha. Let's not be so quick to reject Rashi. So come to Shidma Kubetzis in the 7th of Ramakonis, and quotes from Rabbeinu Shloimoi Midrois. Anyone know who that was? We had him before. We probably pronounced it Dorish last time. The Kaddish Midorish, the Ben Shlom Midorish, the Dorish Rabbi. I don't know, I have no idea how to pronounce it. I'm not sure whether Dorish is Troy's or not. I'm not sure, just in Hebrew, the test became a Dalit. I don't know about that. I mean, Troy was the city to Rashi actually came from. But this is the Kaddish Midorish. It's the same one who said, remember what he said back in the He took his back. He's the one who said Midal Mimser L'Shliach by Kiddushin because the woman could he required Dasa Isha. Remember that one? So he had something else to say in the third Bechav of Basra. It's actually the second Bechav of Kaaba, but it's impacts for us. Rabbi Shlom Midarish Piresh, the Ika Minayu the Labaye Al Korche Muchach Mikra to betray Zimni L'Havi Chazaka. According to Abaye, it is inconceivable that a chazaka should be any less than three times. That's the pasuk says. T'mol, mitmo, shilshon, v'yishmerenu. It's not shayach to the oilal adas that anything can be less than three times. Aval l'rova, matzina l'mezva shaper d'begich ha-shlishas b'sham nezik sholim. If you didn't have Baba Basak of Chesed, you just read Baba Kama, you could walk away with this understanding according to Rava, it's the Tanya, but there's nothing in the Pasuk, nothing in the Tanya Shmachsav against it. I didn't say it's true, it's not true, but there's nothing in the Chumash itself that's forcing you to say that you don't pay Nibirin Gicha Shlishis. And one could even present, according to Rava, to betray Zibna, how the Chazaka, Shumur. Now, in reality, Rava doesn't really say that. But he could. The Mishnah says before 3 days. All of a sudden, is making a reference to a machloikis Rebbe and Shimon ben Gamliel. What? Who? What? Where? What is he talking about? So he's making reference to a sugi maseches Yevamos. The Gemara of Yevamos quotes the following: baby's born. We assume it's a healthy baby, unless we have reason to believe otherwise. So if the baby is exhibiting certain symptoms that show that it's not healthy enough to have a bris, so that's where the Gemara talks about this. So if the baby's yellow, so we know that to be, you know, signs of potential jaundice and bilirubin, that kind of stuff. So the Gemara already talks about that. So that's the reason you push off the bris. The Gemara talks about other kinds of symptoms. The baby seems to indicate it's not healthy to do a bris. Why do we push off the bris when the baby's not healthy? It's a funny question. What? Because the chaybahem, same way Michal Shabbos, the person's not healthy, right? So the person's
what? The
you don't even understand the question, right? I threw out the question because I wanted you to react that way. Okay, you react, you did exactly, you fell for the trap.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I'm here for. Okay. So. It's like a bizarre question. Like, who is Rabbi Sobolovsky asking this question to? Like, what? The rabbi who tells people they got to go run to the hospital on Shabbos. The one that tells people they can eat a Yom Kippur is Pekuach Nefesh. So why did he even pose such a ridiculous question? So you know who poses this question? The Rambam. The Rambam quotes this din. We have a baby that's sick, potentially chashash, Pekuach Nefesh. The Rambam quotes the din in the Gemara that you don't do the bris right away. And the Rambam is bothered with that halacha. And the Rambam says, why? Rambam. And listen to what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, because a bris. You do the bris next week. You do the bris next month. Nefesh v'Yisrael yev shel hachsel li'olam. The Rambam says, if you do the bris, the chalitah of the baby dies, it's you can never bring it back to life. The bris. Hold your horses. Be patient. You'll do the bris next month, next year. The baby will get better. Eventually, the baby's going to get out of this condition. What is the Rambam bothered with? The Rambam is giving almost apologized to you. Why are we pushing off the bris? We should have done the bris, even if the baby is unhealthy. The only reason is because it's worth it to wait. Very, very strange Rambam. Very, very strange Rambam. You have any ideas? I don't know, strange Rambam.
Potentially, could we say that because doing a mitzvah, you're not going to be hurt as you do a mitzvah?
Shluch HaMitzvah Nizokin. Well, I mean, we don't usually use that in Svaros of the Pekuach Nefesh. Let's say a guy's in Yom Kippur, and he's fasting, he's fulfilling the mitzvah, their eyes are fasting in Yom Kippur, and he's being chayzi b'tshuva and everything, and all of a sudden the doctor takes one look and says, you better eat right away, because you're gonna go into chayis, a diabetic shock, you're going to end up in the hospital if you don't eat right away. The guy says, me? Been in the middle of all by this Yom Kippurim. What do you mean? Achas, achas, yachas, achas, ishtayim. Achas, achas, yachas. Nichnas, makom, shenichas. By this Yom Kippurim. What do you want from me? So we don't say that. So could the Rambam possibly be alluding to the fact that Bris Milah is a shtickle exception to the regular rules of Pekuach Nefesh? Because even though Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, everyone should be healthy, all the babies should be healthy, but if not for the mitzvah Bris Milah, I don't know whether we would be running to go do a surgery on an 8-day-old baby. It's not probably, you know, maybe today it's not such a good, you know, in the old days, it's probably not the smartest thing to do medically, to go do a, expose a baby to infections, to what, to who knows what. So, and the Torah says to do it anyway. Torah says the mitzvah Bris Milah. So could it be that the mitzvah Bris Milah is telling us that This mitzvah is not following the regular rules of Pikuach Nefesh. That the regular old rules of the Chayv of Loshi Yomuzbam would have dictated never to do a bris altogether. What kind of thing is that? It's a Sof of Pikuach Nefesh. Every bris is a shtickle Sof of Pikuach Nefesh. It's like Moshe Mada B'Doyna. There's a discussion in the post-game about, it's a funny shayla, very strange shayla. There's a mitzvah called Mechabes Mitzvah. Sometimes it's a mitzvah, Lach, it's a Shalom Molek, it's a mitzvah of Mechabes Mitzvah. How can I go out to war to suffer Pikuach Nefesh? I mean, not always we promise L'nifka B'men Wish. Sometimes you go out to fight a Molek, there may be casualties. How can you have a mitzvah Mechabes Mitzvah, Zachal, Pikuach Nefesh? What's the answer? What's the obvious answer? This mitzvah is trumping the rules of Pikuach Nefesh. The Torah is telling you by the fact that the Torah is giving you a mitzvah b'chemes mitzvah, that's showing you that you don't ask the regular rules of Pikuach Nefesh are not governed in war. You don't follow the regular rules of a chayav ben loshi yomuzbam. So could it be that the Rambam's bothered with every milah is in a certain sense something that would fly in the face of the regular rules of a chayav ben, and the Torah says do it anyway. So imkain, so then why do Chazal say if the baby's not healthy, you don't do it? So the answer says, Ram, that's a different fart. That's not the regular rules of it. That's just common sense dictates. What mehecha taste you should do a mitzvah milah now. If you can do it next week safe, why should you do it now at a risk? So right now, there's a risk to the baby. Next week, there's going to be a minimal risk to the baby. So mutav l'hamdir is a milah, l'yev shalach se'yev shvi Yisrael. Maybe that's what was behind that strange Ram. But the Rambam poses the question and gives an interesting answer. Again, we're not quite sure what the Rambam was bothered with. Maybe, suggestion. But back to that story. The bottom line is, if the baby's not healthy, we don't do the bris. No. The lomdus is cute, but lemaisa, everyone agrees you don't do the bris. We have no reason to believe there's any problem with this baby. It looks like a healthy baby does. And never a kafelach thing happens. The baby dies from having a bris. Never a tragedy. We have no idea what happened. Something went wrong. Kumta, a year later, another baby's born to the same parents. What do you think now? Should you do a bris now or not? Again, assuming we don't know any medical information. We live in a world today that maybe we know some genetic, maybe we know some medical thing, maybe things that we know. But let's say we're living in a world, we don't know anything, we're just based on the facts in front of us. Should we do a bris or not?
Yeah,
because do we consider that to be even a safek pikuach nefesh? It's crazy. Echad min elef alfei elefim. You know, pikuach nefesh, we spoke a lot about this back in the COVID days, that, you know, we're unbelievably machar pikuach nefesh. Even a safek, a koldo, a miyot, you know, we don't follow robes, and a safek, even safek. But yesh gvul p'dover. Even in the world of being chayshiv is safek pikuach nefesh, it's echad min elef alfei elefim. You don't have to be chayshish for that. Otherwise, you can't do anything in life. Everything is echad min elef alfei elefim. So you reach a certain point. Now, where that point is, you know, is a fascinating question. We're not going to talk about it right now. But there's a point. The famous, who's the one who says this in print, but it's in print, that there is a point where we say the odds are so unlikely, we don't have to be chayshish for it.
Chasm Sofer.
Very good. That's a famous Jewish Chasm Sofer. The famous Jewish Chasm Sofer was that there was once a fellow who... That's a little Jewish guy. Somebody died, or supposedly died, and they were burying him. And all of a sudden, they heard some noise from the. Okay. He was alive. He wasn't dead. Either the doctor said he was dead. It's 10 hours later, they made a mistake. He had fainted. Whatever. He was still alive. So when the government found out about that, so they made a decree that said you're not allowed to bury anybody till 3 days pass. You have to wait 3 days till the person is dead, so they should be dead the holidays. That was the government decree. So the Shaila was presented to Chasam Sofer. Are we allowed to listen to that? Are we allowed to follow that decree? It's Shaloi Kedid, because it's a mitzvah. Curse that anybody ever holds, or something else. It's a mitzvah. It's Kfur Baba Yoim. We know the guy's dead. What do you mean? We don't know the guy's dead. We know the guy's dead. Hello, what? The government told us. Now, how do you deal with the government? But Api Alocha, what's the din? So at the time, there was a famous kuntras that was put out. There was a treatise that was put out by an individual. He was very, very famous in the village Jewish community at the time, who put out a whole shtickl Torah explaining that the government's right, it's a safek pikuach nefesh, and you have to wait 3 days before you bury anybody. Anyone know who that famous person was?
Moses Mendelssohn.
Moses Mendelssohn. Okay? Moshe should be death's hour. Chazam Sofer refers to him as Moses Mendelssohn. So he wasn't exactly, he wasn't a Pesach, he was a scholar, whatever he was. He wrote a whole halachic kuntras saying that the government's right, that it's a suffix to Gochrefesh, you're not allowed to bury people. So Chazam Sofer very, very respectfully responded back that that's wrong. Absolutely wrong. No pun intended, dead wrong. He's wrong. He said, why is he wrong? Fundamentally, why is he wrong? He says, the halacha is not chayshesh for echad, meaning elef alfei ribei revavos. One in 10 million people have been buried and they weren't died yet. He says, therefore we change the homet is kura, and we don't follow the dini atara because of echad, meaning elef alfei elef ribei revavos, pametai shagur. And we don't do that. That's not even called a suffix because of that. Says Chassam Sofer, we follow the Dini Torah, and we follow the Simonim that were nimsah to us, Ish Rupiyish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you determine whether the person is dead? Chassam Sofer, in one paragraph, tells you what the Simonim Misa are. So that one tshuva, that one line is the most popular part of the tshuva, because that's what he talks about brain death. When other people told me years later, called brain death. So he discusses to you, how do you tell whether the person is alive or not? So, very long, the Shailam, what simanim you use, like Masechas Yuma, lack of breathing, whatever the cheshbon is. But the part of the tshuva that's fascinating for us is that Chassam Sofer says you reach a point where it's so not shayach to be chayshish for, say, no, that's not even called the suffix of chayshish. I can't be Chassam Sofer. So the chover, that's the premise of the Gemara Masechas Yevamos. So never one baby died, but this baby looks okay. And elef alfi alofim mehechateis, there should be a chashash. So we don't have to treat it as a chashash, and therefore we go ahead and do the second milah. Now, gefreloch, tragedy strikes again. This baby dies also. Now next year, another baby is born. Now what? So the question is, at what point are we going to say this is still an echad min alfei elof? It was just two crazy occurrences. It was I don't think this is the official medical term, a blip on the radar. You know, every once in a while, you know, a crazy thing, but it was a blip. It's not indicative of any pattern. Or do I say, wait a second, this is too eerie that this is happening once and twice. There must be something about the genetics of these kids that we don't know about. I mean, Chazal don't use those words. This is 1,700 years before Gregor Mendel's Pease experiments. But that's what Chazal say, maybe there's something fishy, but it's something about this family that the next baby may have the same problem. At what point do we enter into the realm of saying we have a potential problem on our hands? At what point can we no longer close our eyes to a pattern developing?
What's the halachic issue here? Meaning, why would you assume there'd be a connection between the kids dying? Like, is there a medical reason?
So that's what the Gemara is saying. We don't really know. We don't know enough about the science, but we're suspecting that two babies born from the same parents. It's not just that a baby was born in New York, one baby was born in California, none to each other. Two babies born from the same parents died from the same post-mila. There must be something fishy going on. Now, we know, in retrospect, there may be something. They may have the same genetic problem. Whatever. Maybe they both have the same clotting issue. They both have hemophilia, whatever the case may be. But again, Chazal are not addressing the medicine. We're not looking at the medicine. We don't know the medicine. Or whatever medicine we do or don't know is not relevant right now. We're looking at a pattern developing, and we see two babies from the same family, both died post-mila. So does that create a latest asafek that we now can no longer do this bris until proven otherwise? So that was the Machlokes Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, two times something happens, that's a blip on the radar. It doesn't mean anything. It was a total coincidence. Because, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, how many times does something have to happen in order to create a realistic concern that there's a pattern developing? Three times. Aye, in Parashas, what? Shohamun. And Rabbi Ben Nasi said, no. Rabbi Ben Nasi said, two times is already enough trouble. Is already enough for us to put up the red flag now. And say, not so simple. Let's wait it out. Maybe we'll wait till the babies get older. Maybe we have to wait till longer. We're not sure what we're waiting for exactly, with the rabbi. But to go ahead and do a brila, a mila on the eighth day now, knowing full well the two babies die from this family, that is not acceptable. That's a violation of a chaybem. That's a violation of the dini atar pikochavit. You can't do that. So coming to the Gemara and says, this machlekes rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel is not a bris mila machlekes. It's a machlokes about how to understand chazakas. At what point do we say that patterns are developing? Rebbe says after two times. Rav Shimon Gamliel says after three times. And then the Gemara compares this to other things as well. The Gemara has other comparative shilas. The Gemara starts talking about, anyone know what else the Gemara talks about? Yivam Mester. About Bakat. One is the sugyas, and the Gemara starts talking about Vestas and Chaznida. a woman has a riyah dam, she gets a period on day six of the month, then the next month, nachamal on day six, and then nachamal on day. Wait a second. So that's what's called the first 10 blad of nida. Does the woman have a vessel? Not a vessel. Nafkaminas the tyrus, nafkaminas the baila. There are a lot of nafkaminas the nida, but the woman has a vessel, doesn't have a vessel. So the Gemara starts connecting and comparing and all these sugyas. Do we say that she got a period of Rosh Chodesh 2 months in a row? Does that show that she has something about Rosh Chodesh in her? Doesn't show anything. It's totally crazy. It could have been the 20th day. It could have been the third day. It just happened to be, boom, this month. Her body responded to Rosh Chodesh. Or is there something about her and Rosh Chodesh here? That was the famous Rashba. No? It's a famous Machlek. The Gemara starts talking about what's called the Kriyas Vesas to Yomim, depending on the day of the month. So the Ra'ah asks the Kasha, he says, the day of the month. He says, the Jewish month is arbitrary. Some months have 29 days, some have 30 days. How does that impact on the biology? The woman's biology? How does that respond to the day of the Lefiya Luach? So the Rashba says, it responds, Lefiya Luach. Bodies, nature, work, Lefiya Luach. Yerushalmi, that's the right, Yerushalmi. Kelah, Goyim, Alay. Bisulah Chosrin. You got the details right now. Anyway, suffice it to say that this is a major machlok is Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. But this machlok is clearly has something to do with Shor Hamuad. No question about it. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel makes a lot of sense. Rebbe, we're not quite sure. How did three become two? Or maybe two was two all along. So we got started. We're trying to learn Baba Basra. We thought we'll learn Baba Basra. We gave a whole dummy yesterday how we're not, we closed that Chumashim now. We're just in the worlds of Svaras of Baba Basra. And we realized that the very first din is going to take for the next 6 months. We're going to spend, hopefully, the next 6 months, hopefully, talking about the intricacies of Chesed Batim. What is a Chazakh? What's not a Chazakh? Is there a Mechah? Not a Mechah? Yeah. Who's believed? Not believed? What date? When he goes up, blah, 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 blah. Everything for the next six plot is about the details of Chesed Batim. We're trying to figure out how it works in the first place. So the first piece of information we have, it's something to do with Shor Hamor. That's the only thing that we know for the Gemara. We have no idea what it meant. I just said one way, I said another way, we had a rose. I have no idea what it means. We have no idea how many times the Shomu would really become Shomu. Two, three, four. We were up in the air about this. We have Rashi, Rabbi Ezra, Taisa, Rabbi Shlomi. Everything says what to say about this. And now we have this Gemara Yevamos that throws it as a curveball. Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel about two and three. How does that fit into Baba Vasek of Ches? How does that fit into Baba Kamach of Gimel? So we have absolute complete clarity that Chesed Batim has something to do with Shor Hamuad, which we have no idea what that means. That's that degree of that clarity. And we can't even get the numbers right. We still not even sure whether Chesed Gimel Shalom is Gimel Shalom, Bei Shalom, Dalet Shalom. So otherwise, we have totally got everything down pat in this video. We don't know what we're learning from Shor Hamuad. We don't even know what Shor Hamuad is. We have no idea whether it's two times or three times or four times. We have no idea what Rebbe Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel are talking about, how this relates to Shor Hamuad. Maybe tomorrow we'll get a little bit of clarity. I can't say complete clarity, maybe a little bit more clarity in the city tomorrow. What's the only stuff we'll do today? I don't know. 12:12.